Rest of you in orange shirts can come up here. I mean, I'm partially colorblind. So that's the first time the team saw that. That's why they're laughing at all the pictures and things that they saw and whatnot. So we don't want to keep you here like way past your lunch date. So we want to try to give everybody an opportunity to share just a little bit about what stood out to them in this trip. And this is a long process, which I'll get to kind of near the end. Watch this. This is going to be fun. Hey, Chad. Anyways. Now we got to start all over. It's a long process because you start and we do meetings for months and months and months in advance. There has to be commitments made, deposits made, all that kind of stuff before you even know what the weather's going to look like. So these people have spent months and months for you to see, you know, a short little 10-minute video and to be up here. Cramming all that into this morning is not possible. So you're probably going to hear just some really cool iceberg highlights. And I, again, implore you, if you want to hear a lot of the real backstory, grab three or four of them and say, hey, let's go get Sweetsy Treats or something and let them, and just start quizzing them, asking them questions, because that's how you're going to hear all why they're laughing about the things that were up there, like Ben hanging off of the front of the truck, that kind of stuff. So there's some really awesome God stories in there that we just can't get to all of them this morning. But I'm going to let them basically share kind of what stood out to them over this, I call it the experience, because if you say the trip, then that's just the 6 days we were there. But God was and is a part of much more than that. So share with all of us what's something that stood out to you, the big thing, your takeaway, whatever, from this trip. Who wants to go first? Okay.
Well, I think a big takeaway for me was, it was actually a miracle that all of us got on the plane. First, the Alabama group's flight was delayed for 40 minutes, and then once they finally reached the airport, the bridge that goes out to the airplane wouldn't move, and so they barely made it on the plane from Atlanta to Tegus. And so just one big takeaway from that was, what they were saying while they were sitting in the plane was, you know, if God wants us on that plane, he'll get us on the plane. And so their big thing was, you know, just surrendering. And I think that was a big theme throughout the week, was just, you know, anytime something might have gone wrong or anything like that, you know, it's whatever God wants. So.
You're going down the line. Apparently no one wants to talk to y'all. I guess one of the things that hit me, and it actually just kind of hit me yesterday, is that none of us would be here today if it weren't for y'all. We wouldn't have been able to go if we didn't have Sunday school teachers, parents, people that were committed to teaching us about God and getting us to where we are today. And then the other thing is the financial part. So I've always kind of struggled with how can I be a missionary because I've got jobs, I've got kids, I've got responsibility. Well, kid, I have only one. I have responsibilities. How am I able to be a missionary? I can't do it. And I realized I don't have to be out there actually teaching people about God. I can be supporting people that are out there. So my job, I can use that. So we've had all of y'all that were teaching us and that were raising us up, and then those that supported us financially, because let me tell you, there's no way I would have had the money myself, despite my job, to have been able to go on if people had not financially supported us. And there's two other things I want to say. And one is, all of y'all hopefully have a daily devotion. I would encourage you to get like a bilingual Bible and make notes in it, write in it, and then the next year when this team goes or a team goes, hand them the Bible, because that can be given to a family or a person when they get to Honduras, and they can read the Spanish side and they can see what you've written. Even though they can't read it, they can get somebody to interpret it for them, translate it. for them, and there's a joke behind that. I can tell you that later. And they can also see, if you've underlined verses, they can read those in Spanish, and maybe that will help them in their walk. And then the other thing is, I know we've got our own healthcare issues here in the States. You know, they're all over the news. But we don't have anywhere near the issues that some other countries do. In Honduras, they go to the doctor to get over-the-counter medicine. The Advil that you pop every time you have a headache that you can go to Walmart and get, they have to go to the doctor to get. The allergy medicine, because, you know, we are the allergy capital of the world over here in Tennessee, those medicines are the medicines that they were going to the doctor to get. So I challenge all of y'all to, if when you go and buy a bottle of allergy medicine, Advil, Tylenol, your multivitamins, buy an extra one and bring it here so that the next group can take it, because those are medicines that they desperately need. Every day in the clinic when I was done helping with the patients, we sat there and we counted out pills and stuck them into Ziploc bags, and I counted out Tylenol, ibuprofen, vitamins. Those are the medicines that I was counting out for these people to be able to have.
I actually had a, I got to talk to a lady that, for me, I don't really like talking to, like, strangers, I guess you could say. Yeah, but I actually had a lot of fun, and it helped me to, like, break out of my little shell and see that talking to people is not so scary. And I got to scare Aaron with a caterpillar flower because the lady was showing us all of her flowers, and so we had a lot to talk about, and I got to laugh with the lady and everything, even though I didn't really understand everything that she said. That's it for me. It's not working, Brad.
I think the thing that surprised me on this trip was almost the how not shocking it was anymore going and doing what we were doing. I think the thing that, and I didn't fully, I feel like, connect with this until almost the trip was over, was how in the past 2 years or whatever since the first time I went, the stuff we do down there and the experience I had the first time I went did change the way I operate. And even though I don't always succeed at this, on a daily basis, integrating, just doing ministry, doing what we did down there, interacting with people, showing love, serving when it's needed, it just felt more, it felt normal this time, more than it did the past two trips even. So I feel like the thing that just stood out to me was, it's not always the big kind of turning points that God uses to change you. It's sometimes just a slow progression, teaching you and maturing you. And I feel like that's kind of what I discovered on this trip.
I'm going to dovetail off that a little. That's a joke, too. A thing that really surprised me and was a big takeaway for me was kind of similar to that, which was we look at mission trips as like this big, huge experience and things you can only do down there. And there are some things that down there that you wouldn't do normally here. But overall, it was just so surprising on things that we did there that we can do here. We can take time in our lives to just stop and make personal connections with each other, get to know each other, and share your faith with each other around us, not just like in Honduras and mission trips, but here and other things that we did down there, just that we can do here, and that we just being more intentional being here too. So
it's gonna be fun. Kind of going off Aaron, when dovetailing off of Aaron, when the Honduras people got on the plane finally to Tegucigalpa, they were just saying that when they were running through the airport, they felt such a peace because they knew if God wanted them on that plane, they would get on it. And a lot of the Alabama girls got sick from like dehydration or like lack of sleep or food. What? Oh, and sunburn. And one of the girls there, she was just like, there's a reason that I am not feeling well, and God is using my sickness to just teach me things. And she just trusted him fully, and that just kind of hit me because, I don't know, it's so easy to trust God halfway, but she trusted him through all the difficult, even though she wasn't feeling well. And she really, really wanted to be out there with the kids and working and helping. And I also learned it's okay to make mistakes.
The second night, was it, that we had family night? I think it was the second night, the first night. My brain is... Anyway, we had family night at the church, and basically, was that the night we went into groups and like split up into... Yes, okay. We split up into groups, and one group was doing some sort of, was it forgiveness or something? And then there was another group teaching them games that they can play as family, and there was another group doing art project with them. And Mary and I were doing storytelling. We were teaching them how to tell stories like as a family so that they can interact with the family while telling Bible stories. And one of the girls that I met, or three of them that I met that night, their names were Jasmine, Angie, and Alicia. They came back the next night when we did our children's church VBS thing. And they gave us these flowers that they made. One of the girls had made them out of egg cartons. And it just, even though, you know, they don't really have that many resources, she wanted to make something for us. And so she used something that we every day would throw away and made something beautiful out of it.
Oh, yay. Yeah, right. Okay, so before I came on the team, I wasn't really, like, connected with God. Doug was actually supposed to be in my place, and then he left for some reason. I don't remember why. But Dad came to me, and he was like, hey, there's a spot open. I really want you to come. And I wasn't really excited for it because I had been to a Bible camp before, and I thought that it wouldn't make an impact on my life. And so whenever I was in the plane, oh, don't even. whenever we were in the plane and we were touching down in Honduras, I don't know why, I still don't know why, but I started crying. And it was just a really touching moment for me. So I guess my takeaway was that I really need to have faith in God a bit more.
It's like it's diseased or something, you know. So, you know, huge things happened down there. There's lots of things. And just to give you a run through, if you're watching the video, those videos are on their websites, the two that we showed that they put out. If you're watching them, our teams from the past were in those. You could see them. They flash up. Those are several teams, and our teams are in there doing Adobe and different stuff that have been in there. We have a little bit of a connection with LA Dante now because of the times we've gone down there. And I just want to tell you as the team leader, I co-leaded with one of the guys in Alabama. You know, I just want you guys to know how well your team represented not only you as EAC, but all our fellow believers and most importantly, Jesus Christ. I have had the privilege over the years of going on lots of mission trips with some really fantastic teams. This is the only one that I can really recall that from the get-go, whether it was in a team meeting or all the way to, you know, all the stuff we were dealing with there, the heat, the tentative nature of the schedule, language, whatever, I never once heard a complaint. Not once. Not even close to one. These guys and the rest of the team down in Alabama, whether they were sick, whether they're having to cover for somebody that was sick, you know, filling in the gaps, or, oh, hey, this was our game plan that we had 30 minutes ago, but I need six people that will go here now, you know, never once. And that showed, and it was kind of interesting because we had a different group of translators. The past 2 years we've had a lot of the same translators. This year we had a completely new group. And within the first day, they kind of felt like family. And they said that to us. They said, wow, your group is just so accepting and all that. In fact, one of them, her name was Maddie, right?
Michael. Michaela.
Yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah, sure. Mark. Anyways. Her name was Maddie, but we just, I don't know why, where it came from. Well, yeah, Kevin, the other co-leader. But we just started calling her any name that began with M. Every time it's like, hey, Minnie, blah, blah. And she thought it was hilarious to the point to where somebody asked her name and she goes, I've forgotten, you know. It's like, but at the end of the day, we were just like, you are so great and easy to get along with, you know. I'm so glad you're working with EA. How long have you been here? No joke. She goes, today's my first day. But they were telling us, you know, it's amazing. Your group is just so accepting. And I think the greatest compliment that I can pass on to this team is I was approached by the director. You saw in the videos the guy with the gray shirt on. He is the co-director, and his wife was up there too. It's Tristan Elizabeth, or Beth. But she came up to me. She was not going to be able to get up because they have kids, and they tag team on seeing the group off in the morning. So she came the night before we left, and she pulled me aside. She said, Brad, I want to tell you something. She says, I really appreciate you all bringing your group down. Our EA staff looks forward to your group coming because we enjoy working beside you, but also we receive from you. Several occasions, one or more of the staff would come in and sit, and we have a decompression time at night where they share. And she says, when your groups come down, the things that they talk about at the end of the night, whether they're teenagers or adults, you're real, you're genuine, and you guys have a deep faith. She said, we have doctors and people who come, and they serve, and they're believers and all, but they just kind of serve and walk away. She said, you guys are burdened for people knowing Christ and all that. And these people are hardcore, driven ministry people, and to have somebody come up and say that about your team, and then, like Virginia said, this is an extension of Sunday school classes and children's church and youth groups and picnics and all, where we pour into each other as Christ would. That's the evidence that goes on. That's not something you formulate with just a couple meetings or some pamphlets or something. That's a life character, a heart attitude. And so that is a compliment I give back to you all as a church. You know, that's what we got from LA Dante. They said, our staff, and they are barely staffed. Their full-time staff that they have down there just covers it. When one of them gets sick, like Katie did last week, it is tough for them to come and fill in. And they said, it's almost like when you guys come, and we come with a large group. It may not seem large, but for their resources, a group of 20 is large. I mean, normally they have around 9. And to have 20, the year before that we had 24, and now I max it out because I'm trying to take care of the EA. But they said, we know it's going to be a lot more work, but it's almost like, you know, it's almost like you guys are ministering to us, and we look forward to you guys coming. So that is a huge, you know, that's a huge blessing and compliment to not only this team, but our body, because you are a big reason as why we are able to do what we do, and the things we do. So That's huge in that sense. The other thing was is that you always hear about these hair-raising events. I just want to quickly share about everybody's laughing at all the other ball guys that were on the picture. Just really quickly, what that was is Jonathan, one of their staff there that's actually Honduran, he likes to run his mouth a little bit and sometimes. And so he started off the first of the week, and he's going, "Man, your head's really shiny." Da, 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 da. I said, "You should be bald." And Tristan, the director, leaned down. He said, "Jonathan, you should stop talking, or you're going to be bald by the end of the week." And so then he challenged me. He said, "Oh, I'll shave my hair." And he was trying to grow his hair out to like down to his shoulder blades, by the way. And he said, "I'll shave my head if," and he started with different things like, "If you'll shave your beard, if you'll shave, you know, whatever." And I was like, "Fine." Oops. I was like, "Maybe you'll call my bluff, maybe he won't." Well, he just kept going. And so finally it got to the point, I said, "Dude, now it's your character. You're saying this and you're turning your back." And he said, "Well, I don't want to do it if it doesn't mean anything." The first year we went, there was several of us trying to get ready for Honduras. And so we ran together out on the Tweetsie Trail. And then we decided afterwards we were going to try to run a half marathon that was over in Johnson City. And after going to EA, they had some needs for medical equipment and different things. And we said, "Well, we're already going to be running the marathon. Why don't we just say we're running the marathon for EA and see if we can get some money?" We raised over close to $600 or whatever. So I told Jonathan about that. I said, "Just throw it out there." And he goes, "Well, if we raise $500, I'll cut my hair." And I said, "Now you're putting a price tag on God." So and I stepped away. And so anyways, by the end of the week, he said, "Okay, I'm just going to put it out there." And they put it out there. And within, what was it, two hours, they had raised $1,000. Right, for that people who pledged, bam, 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 bam. And so, and they did their first Facebook Live video of me shaving his head. And in that process, because it's live feed and all that, people are going, "Well, what about Tristan?" and all that. And he was like, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, we have to raise $500. Bam, we have $500. So I got to shave. What's that? Oh, yeah, the girls cried and all that. But when he explained, you know, and then they said, "Well, what about Shane? Shane's the newest staff member. He used to be a SWAT team member in California, and now he's serving there." And he's like, "Great." And so he goes, "Nah, I'll do 500. Nobody really knows me. I'll do $500 too." Bam, we had $500. So within a little over 2 hours, my arms were sore from shaving heads, and we turned something, God turned something just kind of funny at the beginning of the week into $2,000 for the Learning Center. That covers things that they didn't. They just started the Learning Center, and there's licenses for their office, the office suite software thing. They didn't know where that was going to come from. They started the center in faith, and they were like, "Ooh, we have these computers, but we told the kids they can use them to do their homework, but we have to have a licensed copy of Office on all of the computers, and we don't have that. We can't afford it." Well, within a matter of 2 hours, God blew the doors off of that, and they have all the licenses and extra stuff for the Learning Center. So it just goes to show how, if we think of how we can turn things, you know, into useful things and invite other people. I mean, that $2,000 was sitting in somebody's pocket already. We just gave them a little excuse, you know, and said, "Hey, why don't you?" And sometimes if we just point things out and we say, "Hey, here's a need. People will gladly jump on board. Well, granted, everybody wanted to see Jonathan's head shaved, so it was worth it. But, you know, it was kind of fun. And it was cool that the staff was willing to do that. And even the girls, even the director's girls, they were like crying, "Dad, I don't want my dad to look like Charlie Brown," you know, or "that guy that came from Tennessee." But he explained it to them, and then they were like, "Okay, it's good. As long as you grow it back, and we're raising money," and they were okay with it. So anyways, that was a hair-raising event. Hair dropped, and then what was that? What was the other? Oh, no. That was a scare-raising event. No, this was a hair-raising event because we used hair to raise money for the Learning Center. And what I like about it is they're always proactively looking for how they can plug it. They could just sit there and do water filters and latrines and that kind of stuff all day long. But what they do when they connect with their community is they plug in, they say, "What's the need?" And this year is education. They're educating people in, you know, cleanliness, or actually in education, helping students who have to stop in school because their parents can't afford it. Great kids, great grades, just can't go. And so they have scholarships, and that's what some of the rest of the money that we raise is going to support the scholarships of kids that are already approved, but nobody is covered. So they have a uniform so they can go to school, and then they come to the Learning Center afterwards, and they use the facilities and curriculum, and as well they have to do Bible studies while they're there. And most of them are like thrilled because they get a Bible and they get to do Bible studies. So it's really cool. And like I said, after, you know, we have this kind of rapport with them because we've gone so many years, but we do have a direct connection with them. And that's Katie. And that's one of Katie Smith, who went with us the first year. And she is homegrown. She's one of ours who has grown up. When they were in, we're her home church. And so one thing I realized when I was down there is because L.A. Dante is small, there are several of them. Most of the rest of the staff come from California, and they have larger churches with staffs and all that kind of stuff that kind of, that's their sending organization. And it hit me that Katie doesn't have a sending organization. She's not part of Wycliffe or MAF or anything like that. And I know from all the missionaries that we have seen go through here, through Moody and all that, they have resources of helps, not necessarily funds, but people that help, that they can call, that talk about retirement, savings, you know, any of that kind of stuff, how to communicate, you know, help out with different things like that. Katie has none of that. And so my challenge is to myself and maybe some handful of people in here is to put together what I want to call Team Katie, where we have like an administrative group that is there to lift her up. Not, I mean, we need to do it in prayer and finances. We know that. But she also needs help to know. I mean, there's two single young ladies down there. The other one is constantly the nanny for all the children of the staff that do have kids. All the rest of them go home at night and spend family time, and Katie goes back to her apartment by herself. You know, and so there's a lot of resource. We're her support to start with. So my challenge is I don't even know what it looks like. I'm going to call MAF and Wycliffe and see what kind of resources and how they support their missionaries. But I really don't know what it looks like. If you got an idea, great, come talk to me. But I would like to create a team that kind of is a support group for her, because I think she really needs it. And that's something I think we're obligated as her home church to say, hey, we're not just going to make you a mercenary and send money your way. We want to be there as a real logistic support for you. So if you're interested in that, hunt me down and we'll brainstorm and let God show us and say, hey, what if we do this or that? Because I honestly don't know what it looks like, but I'm burdened that we need to reach out in that way. Let's see, what time is it? Oh, we got extra time. Any questions? Let me list off the things we did, and then if you have a question you want to ask someone, then I'll shove this mic into somebody's face and they can answer it for you. I was just going to tell you just a recap, if you didn't, in all the pictures to explain them. We did some odds and ends around the facility, like planting some trees that are fruit producing that they can use and help out the community around. We did a family night, which is kind of like a VBS, but it's for the entire family, and they come through in family groups. We did a children's church. We had one of the couple of them sang at the beginning of the service, and then the Alabama co-leader, he preached a message while the rest of us went, and we did like this big children's church thing, had different things going on. We did latrines, which are really nice outhouses for sanitary purposes. We put in a cement floor. We checked and installed water filters. We did a sports day where we taught them how to play. We taught them how to play wiffle ball. Thank the Lord they sent somebody to Alabama that was a softball state champion and whatever, because we're all like, what do you do with this big stick? So we did that. We had a sports day, did some stretching exercises, and I got the spontaneous privilege to talk to all of them afterwards. We did a movie night, where they showed a movie, and in the middle of intermission, Ben here gave a little devotional during the intermission. And then the Learning Center, there was a few of them that went to the Learning Center and actually helped hands-on with the tutor, the short-term missionary, the tutor that was there to help them learn their colors and letters, and you can ask about that. And the clinic. Not only did Virginia work in the clinic that was on the campus, but she got to go up into the mountain where they basically camped out in some Sandman TP or something. I don't know. You can ask her about that. Yeah, they basically borrowed somebody's house and ran the clinic up in the mountain all day long, out remotely. Is there anything else I'm forgetting? Direct ministries we're involved in? That kind of covers so those were the direct things that we did while we were there. So are any questions about the? Yes, I see that hand. Who wants to tell about the little rubber tubs?
Looks like you were planting plants with the rubber
tubs. No, the rubber tubs were actually for filtering the rocks for the water filters. Yeah, and the sand, and we would we would clean it, we would pour in water, and we would just mix it up like we were kneading dough, and it would get all of the extra dirt out of there, silt and dirt. Gosh, how about you say it then?
We could do it together.
and that's basically what the tubs are for. Sightseeing, basically. Was it our last day?
Yeah.
No? Second to last? Second to last day, and we went, was it the Capitol? No? Okay. Yeah. And we were basically just sightseeing. Yeah. That was at the airport, I'm pretty sure.
My food?
My food.
There was like chips and they had stuff on it. Like, wow. I don't know how to explain it. Some sauce that tastes amazing and some more stuff that tastes even more amazing and some other stuff that tastes more amazing. And cheese. Apparently.
You're talking about the family night?
Yeah, family night. What role did you do on family night?
I got to teach about forgiveness. Thanks, Brad. He volunteered me. It would not have been my choice, but that's where God wanted me. So if you want to hear that story, you can catch me later.
I was originally helping with the handprint family trees, but there were a lot of other staff there, so I went and I listened to her and Jesse talk about forgiveness.
I was telling stories and helping them learn to tell stories as well. David and Goliath. Thank you, Mary.
I was part of the game group, and so we taught them a game to play, and then we gave them a ball that they could take home and play with their families.
I was also in the game group, and the game was called Trash Ball. And it was really fun, and I can play Trash Ball in two different languages.
I was part of the game group also. I played with the kids too.
Okay, keep going.
Me and Brianna told the David and Goliath story, thankfully through a translator, which made it better.
I kind of made it look like I was in charge of doing the game thing while the translator made sure everything actually happened the way it was supposed to happen. Does it?
I'm next. I was just waiting for you to finish with this. And I originally started out in the game group, but then I ended up in the box moving guy. So while all that was going on, I was moving in the boxes with the snacks and drinks and supplies and stuff like that. So that was Katie's job to make me do that. So does that answer your question? Any other questions? Yes. Her first, then you.
My question is, you said you sort of were relaxed and not traveling.
Oh, definitely. If I didn't have a home here, I would definitely live over there. Everybody knows how, like, I go to a public school and how a lot of people there, we may live in the Bible Belt, but a lot of people don't take the word very seriously, and so I guess some of that negativity sort of spread onto me. And so whenever we went to Honduras, I kind of like felt God's presence there, and he really grasped onto my heart, and that was a really emotional and moving moment of my life. Any other questions?
Give that one to Rachel.
Wait, in Spanish?
No. I don't know the colors though.
What do you think?
Oranja?
And the colors aren't that hard either. I mean, it's just the names that are hard.
They're real easy because we had great translators. So we would say something wrong and they would go, yeah, whatever.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Those were the fruit trees that, was it my dad said that he was explaining that we were planting in El Ayudante that would grow and bear fruit. Yeah.
I'm add on to that. One really cool thing about those fruit trees, this really doesn't have anything to do with why we're there, but so the root of the tree was a different tree from the top, and they actually grafted one kind of tree to another tree. He didn't really explain why they did that, but just a fun fact.
Atticus has his hand up.
Okay.
Are you just smacking your dad, or did you?
That's a very good question. We were provided clean water. We had water that we washed our hands with and drank and all that. That we bathed in, but you couldn't drink it. And then they did give us big containers of water that was for drinking only. So just like the people that we were serving, we had to be careful about the water we drank as well, because we could only drink the clean stuff. So, yeah. But it was amazing if you saw that. Some of the pictures there had the canal that run by all the houses that everybody bathes in, all that kind of stuff. Livestock walks through, and that's what they drink. In fact, when we were there, one of the staff members, Shane, he was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I turned around. Here walks up this little kid, little boy, toddler, has just a diaper on. We're putting in a latrine for sanitary purposes and that kind of stuff. And the water that we're getting ready to pour into the concrete, you know, to mix it on the ground, is out of that canal. He just comes up with a cup and goes, and that's what they do. They don't know any different. And so if you put in a water filter, you actually have to train them to use it, because they think, oh, that's water. And they don't understand the difference of safe water and clean water, you know, versus the dirty water. And, you know, here we are. We're like, oh, yeah, look, we're helping out. We're putting in this nice. And the kid just walks up and I mean, there's tadpoles and everything in this stuff, and they, you know, that's what they drink. So, but yeah, that's why the clean water is so important. Very good question. Yeah.
How many water filters did you guys install and who supplied them?
I'll answer that. I don't know exactly how many we installed, but as far as the supply goes, that's part of our fee that we pay. Helps pay for those things. They get them from. They are actually the Honduras national distributor for the Aqua something, I forget, it's got its cool name to it, but it's they're manufactured in Michigan, the plastic tub. So it's very similar. Samaritan's Purse uses the same concept, but they build concrete ones, which is really hard. I don't know why they don't get the ones that LA, but LA Dante went from just buying them to now anybody, and there are tons of short-term mission trips that go to Honduras. We find it basically more than half the plane is usually filled with matching t-shirts of various sorts. But most of, I think 100% of the time, they either stay in the capital of Tegucigalpa or San Pedro Sula, the other international airport. Very rarely do they ever venture out into places like Comayagua like we do. Everybody stays in those two major cities and serves. But they all, giving water filters is one of the key things that all the groups do. And now if they get this certain type of filter, which is very simple, very easy, one of the least expensive and one of the most effective, now they get it through LA Dante. They're the distributor for that. So I think we probably did at least a dozen that we actually installed, which takes longer, and then we did lots of checks. After 3 years, they actually have to be serviced, and so we did a lot of those too. So,
but one really cool thing is, you know, the first year and this kind of the second year too, our main focus was putting in water filters, but this year we did probably a quarter of what we usually do because they put in over 100 in the village, and so there's hardly any families in the village that we served in that need water filters anymore. So now they're moving more up the mountain, and so that's mainly where we put water filters.
It does.
Well, yeah, unless Jonathan drives, you got 140 road, no, that will kill you.
And they have a very close relationship with the community churches there. And they say, how can we serve you? And so when somebody, if we connect with somebody, give them, every water filter family gets a Bible, and we share faith with them at the end. If they say they do, you know, oh, yeah, I'm involved or whatever, you know, that it's kind of like Bible Belt. Yeah, I know where the church is, or yeah, I know, you know, I'm a Catholic, whatever. Then we ask them where the churches are, and we say, and LA Dante continues to follow up on that. And there are some that I know there's at least one that I know was somebody we reached out to in our first trip who now works on like the ground staff and stuff at LA Dante, and their families are believers and all that. So, as far as stats go, I can't give you a definite number, but there is evidence. A lot of evidence. So, yeah.
What are some of the medical needs that you saw when you went up in the hills?
That was the time that everything that they were giving out was just about ibuprofen, Tylenol, loratadine. It was all over-the-counter medicine. They would occasionally prescribe an antibiotic, and it was kind of interesting because they did it without, you know, I think it was either ear infections or strep throat, but if it was strep throat, they weren't testing. You know, we all get swabbed if you think you have strep here. They didn't. It was symptom. They treated the symptoms. So just it's very important for them to have those. And they gave out a lot of multivitamins too. So, and the list of medications is on the LA Odontes site. So if you guys do want to contribute those, that you can look it up, and they have a whole list of them. They just have to be in date. They cannot be expired. Because that's the one regulation. Their clinic is tied in with the government, the Honduran government, and the one regulation that their government says is that the medication has to be in date. But other than that, they don't really regulate. I don't think so. Was your... I don't think so. It was checked, because... It sounds like two or three of the girls on the team packed everything in a carry-on. That would be another thing I challenge you if you do go. Try to pack everything in a carry-on suitcase so that your checked baggage can be something to supply LA Udante with. But they came with everything that their suitcases didn't have anything missing out of it. Oh, and that is, everything was over the counter. I did have some prescription meds that were prescribed to me, like I have exercise-induced asthma, and because I didn't know what the weather was gonna be like, I took an inhaler with me. It was a brand new inhaler that I never opened, so I left it, because asthma is one of the problems that they do experience there, especially this time of the year, because it was their wet season. So they had a lot of more respiratory issues. going on than what they do normally during their dry season. And then the doctor that I see had given me a prescription for Bactrim, so I left that because it was in case I got sick from the food and stuff. And everybody keeps asking about the food, and I know this is totally sidetracking, but I didn't think the food was that different than what we get here. So, and I loved it. It was great.
Cases full, and we are connected with them, and they see it come all the time. And as long as you're in a group and they know it, there's very little prescription has to be prescribed to you. You can't send prescription down there. But they do have other teams going down there. We were used as a mule team. I just used a mule team. They have the same exact sound system, that portable sound system that we have, but they just don't have stands to get the speaker up. So I mentioned that, and somebody bought some right away, and so we sent them down, and they connected us with another team that actually left yesterday and took them down there. So basically they use their team, because sending stuff down there is crazy expensive, and if it shows up to somewhere out there, is basically their address. But when the teams come, they send stuff. And now that we have a fantastic children's director, we have a space, and the elders have approved to put a page up for LA Dante where we can connect directly from in our website and have a page for that, where we can connect. They have an Amazon wish list where you can go buy things, and it will get sent to their California hub, and they will send it to a team to bring it if you want to support them that way directly. Indirectly, or it has lists, like Virginia was saying, of medications where if you go out and you get Tylenol, Advil, whatever, and you just get a second bottle, you can bring it here, we can collect it, and then get it to, they'll tell us what team is close by that we can send them to. Those kind of ways. Simple ways like that we can really support what's going on down there. And like we've said before, I just want to reiterate, they are not an entitlement ministry. They work very hard not to be that way. Everything that they distribute has to be partially earned, for two reasons. One, so they don't just become the Santa Claus handout thing. Number two, they're building up the dignity of the people instead of tearing it down. We went through a series called Helping Without Hurting, which goes from that book series, When Helping Hurts. And that's what their model is that they make them pay for a percentage, and that gives them some involvement. So like these pills and all, they don't just hand them out, over the fence or whatever like that. People come in, they wait their turn, that kind of stuff, and they're seen, and they do have to pay a little bit. Now, if somebody can't and they really feel like they need a minister and they see the situation and they know it because of their contacts and all that, then they do get involved, and they will help out. But they try as best they can to help everybody with their involvement and participation so that they're building up the dignity of the people in the community instead of just saying, oh, look, we're a bunch of Anglos from North America and we're freely giving out candy, that kind of thing. So any of this kind of stuff that's sent down there, the resources, they handle in a way which is very good stewardship, spiritually, physically, emotionally, all that kind of stuff, developmentally. Oh.
And the fruit was really amazing going off Miss Virginia. That's what I think about the food.
So that being said, I don't want to keep everybody. We're done with our time here. And if you do have questions, you want to talk more, most of these people like coffee or definitely like ice cream. You want to grab and say, hey, let's go talk about this. I want to hear some more and just pull the stories out of them. It would be great. Now, next year we have already committed to the same exact week, which would fall on the 9th through the 16th of 2018. Because of somebody's gracious willingness, one of the things that we had that was a trip up right from the beginning is that the plane tickets were non-existent because so many people do go to Honduras. It's like the new Africa, I guess. I don't know. But everybody likes to go there and serve. So when I went to go book the tickets, there were no tickets available for the Saturday. So we actually had to shorten our week by a day, and just in order to get down there with tickets, period, much less group rate. And by the time I figured all that out, within 3-day time, the tickets had already skyrocketed in their price. So if we can get them earlier, We get them through group rate, so they are refundable and all that. So somebody who's gracious enough said that they would cover, basically a loan, to go ahead and get tickets at the base price. And then as people sign on and put their deposit down, then that individual get paid back with their fee. And if we don't use them all, which you probably will, because Alabama will want them if we don't. But anyways, if we don't use them all, they are refundable through the group rate process with Delta. So what I am going to put out is that I have a sign-up sheet here. I shouldn't say this. This is an interest poll. It's not a sign-up sheet. And what I have learned over my 2 decades of doing this is that everybody wants to go and sign up the day after you have report. Everybody commits. I am there next year. You can count on me. But life happens, partially, and the video gets forgotten, the other thing. So what I have on here is if you're interested, that's fine. I'm not getting a blood covenant here or anything. This is showing interest, and then it has a scale on it, 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest. How interested do you think you are? Are you, like, committed? Give me an idea for two reasons. One, because we're going to get how many tickets I need to get and how many I can tell, because I already know that the Alabama group would be interested, and so I can't really get tickets for them flying out of Tri-Cities. So it kind of gives me the idea, and the sooner I can nail down some airline tickets, a lot of money that will be saved in the team raising money and resources and all that kind of stuff. And if we're going to raise that much money, I'd rather just shuttle it right down to LA Adante than give it to the airline carrier for no good reason. I'm just explaining that because that's what this is not a sign-up list. This is an interest poll. And if you can kind of give me if you are interested and you're like, oh yeah, here's where I fall, that kind of stuff, then you can just print your name. Please print your name and just put on there on that scale how interested you are. That'll give me an idea to try to make a faith guess on how many tickets we can save money on this year and save that all. Okay, does that make sense? All righty. Where's Ray? Ray's gonna come up and I'll hold the mic for you if you want. Are you gonna wrap it? Okay, let's stand and sing.